Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Casey.
How are you today?
Miserable.
Why?
Because we have to talk about Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters.
Oh, I mean, I know it wasn't that great, but your voice is really making it sound very depressing.
Loathsome.
Wow. That's today's episode.
Yeah.
Episode 11, Percy Jackson, The Sea of Monsters.
This is the worst movie.
David is not happy about this.
I can't remember. No, I do remember. The last time I felt this awful about a movie, I think it was the first time I watched Rise of Skywalker.
The first time you watched it or the second time?
I think I've seen it like two or three times, Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
But like, spread out. Like, I think I only saw it one time in theaters, and that one time in theaters was just enough. I was like, everything is bad, and it was just awful.
David was not happy. I had seen Sea of Monsters already, but
yeah, this was my first
when
time.
When we watched it, it was his first time, and he was so angry.
I was livid.
I was like, you need to chill. He's literally, like, taking it to heart.
It was awful. Oh my god. This is the worst movie. Like, ugh! This is so frustrating.
Books are still great. He can't comment on that, but,
I can't, but if it really is anything like the movies, oof. Doesn't sound good.
It just goes into more detail, and things are different, yeah, but, I mean,
I'll take your word for it, because
okay.
I haven't read
okay.
them.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here to talk about today.
I just want to get this out.
He's like, can you just press record, please? I don't want to finish this. So, this is the second movie.
Yes.
After Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
And thank God, the last of this franchise so far.
When I first watched these films, like, I mean, I was a kid, I was a teenager, and I was just, like, such a big fan of Greek mythology. I was like, this is so cool. But, I mean, the second one was definitely not as good as the first one.
No.
But then once, like, I read the books and everything, I was like, man, this is trash.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like certain movies and TV shows, when you like a certain part of it or, like, a certain part of the franchise, and, like, even though it wasn't exactly what you anticipated, but, like, you're such a fan of it that you still would want to watch it anyway.
It's a weird effect because there are lots of sci-fi movies that I think are pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I would probably watch them just because they have some cool sci-fi bits in it. One such thing is actually Demolition Man. It's a bit of a sci-fi action movie from the early 90s.
Never heard of it.
But it's not really a great movie. It has a few neat ideas, but I nonetheless enjoy watching it. But I also don't think it's an amazing movie. And I think, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me, but, like, I would guess that would be you for Greek mythology. Like, if a movie came out with, like, Greek shenanigans going on, you'd probably watch it.
Yes.
And might even enjoy it, even if it's actually pretty bad.
I feel like the first time you watch it, like, you've said this to me before, like, you're kind of on, like, a high. Like, you watch it the first time.
Yes, absolutely.
You're excited about it.
Yeah.
And then you start to think about it later on.
Yeah.
Or you watch it a second time, and then you're like, hold on.
Yeah, that's usually how I really appreciate TV shows, movies, anything like that, is that I will usually watch it one time, and if it's really good, I'll go and rewatch it. And then during the rewatch, I will kind of try to poke holes at it. And the ones that I really call great, that I really love and enjoy, are the ones that really hold under that scrutiny. That even though I try to poke at it, it still kind of stands up on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been lots of movies that, like, I watched it at first, and I was like, I had a great time. Wow, that was so good. And then I went back, and I was like, oh, no. Like, thought it was good. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, no, this is really bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. that's kind of how I absorb lots of movies. And yeah, at this point, I'm just kind of stalling before we have to actually talk any more about Percy Jackson Sea of Monsters.
Well, like, when I first watched Sea of Monsters, and, like, I did like it, and I liked the story, like, the world. Yes. And I was just like, are they going to continue this? Because the ending is, like, on a cliffhanger, essentially.
Yes.
To bring up something new. And I was just like, whoa. And then I Googled it, and they're like, nope, we're not making any more movies.
Thank God.
But it was based on a book series, and it has, I mean, there's a whole bunch in this entire universe, but of the specific Percy Jackson books, it's five. So right. I was like, oh. And I was like, I really want to see this through, so I'm just going to go read the book. So I read the books afterwards, and I was like, wow, so much better. Really loved it. So sad that they weren't making any further movies. Again, we spoke about this in the last episode, that they're supposedly making a TV show of yes. the Percy Jackson series. And I really, 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 really hope and pray they make it to season 5. Because if that's how they're going to do it, like, you know, book 1, book 2, seasons, whatever, I want to see it come to life. Because I'm such a fan of the Percy Jackson books. So I just really would love to see the next ones come to life, because they're really, really interesting. I feel like way more interesting than the first two. But, you know.
I hope for your sake that they're good. Because
I know.
Yeah, like, Netflix at this point won't tolerate anything that's not bringing in viewers.
That cash money.
Yeah, exactly. And especially for a fantasy series, that, because those are, that's why there aren't a ton of, like, really big budget fantasy or even sci-fi things. Like, Marvel's the only one really doing stuff like that lately. Or at least Marvel is the big production company doing it lately, just because, hey, they can afford it. And they're making so much money anyway, so they can.
Yeah.
But that's it, really. Anything else that is kind of sci-fi or fantasy, it just takes so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all those headlines about Game of Thrones? Just like those, the budgets were astronomically high, those numbers.
I don't recall that.
There were lots of headlines about that kind of thing.
I really started watching Game of Thrones, I think, when like the last few seasons were coming out.
When the show was,
because I'd heard tanking. Like people would literally have watching parties for Game of Thrones yeah. every week. And I was like, oh, okay. And eventually I made my way there. And I was like,
so yeah, all that to say is that when the Percy Jackson Netflix series comes out, it is going to be riding on thin ice from the outset. I wish them luck. It's never fun
to watch
a show be bad. It's not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's obviously, like, the fan base and, like, the want for this to come to life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have been like, I mean, the movie sucked. Why would we put money yeah. into this?
And I mean, like, listen, we here at the Script Doctor podcast mm-hmm. really enjoy sometimes watching bad movies and making fun of them. That can be a really enjoyable time. We're going to do that next week. However, it's not because it's fun to watch a movie or TV show fail.
Yeah.
It's not like we like watching these people's careers tank.
It's just, you know, we'd like for it to be better.
It's all. How we cope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, you want to go ahead and jump in and talk about it so we can be done and you can stop being so you about this.
Whatever. All right.
Okay. So, jumping in, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. We start off with them having some game.
Some game.
other students on this thing, but they don't matter. Yeah. It's just them two trying to get to the top because they're always competing against each other. And Percy was there. He was at the top. He was about to get it. And then some kid was, like, being dragged on the bottom, and he was just like, oh, I gotta go save him.
Even though, like, the kid was in no danger.
Yeah, like, he would have been so fine. Like, this is, like, a camp.
Yeah, and he's at the lowest level. Even if he had fallen down on his head.
Like, someone else would have got him. There were so many people there.
There's so many people there, but, like, even if he'd fallen, he wouldn't have been... I don't think he would have been knocked out, even.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been like, oh, ouch, that kind of hurt.
I do see... They were really trying to show, like, how Percy's heart in that scene.
There's would have been a better way to show that.
I know. But, like, it was so unnecessary.
Yeah.
So he really won, but he lost...
Yeah, and then Clarice
won, and she was a champion.
She won in all this, so.
Yeah. And we're also introduced to Dionysus, god of wine. Yeah. Dionysus is the camp director.
Played by Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
Who is a really fun character actor. He's very funny.
I kind of like the little story with Dionysus in the film, that Zeus literally put him at camp as part of punishment of getting with a nymph that Zeus was fond of. And also, since he's the god of wine, Zeus cursed him that any wine that he pours turns to water. And for a god of wine, I mean, that's kind of sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. But he's a great character in the film. I like him. I wish he would have... He should have shown up in the first movie like he did in the book.
He's not in this movie for very long either.
No.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool, one, to see another god, for sure. But two, like, he's pretty funny. He really doesn't care about the kids, and it's really great.
Yeah, that's Stanley Tucci for you.
Yeah. Then we move on, and this Cyclops shows up.
Oh, yeah, just some kid shows up, and he's a Cyclops, claiming to be Percy's brother.
Percy's half-brother.
Whatever.
Which, in all honesty, like, they explain, like, Cyclops really only come from one god, Poseidon.
Right.
And it's like, I mean... Why does he have to be there? I mean, all Cyclops are his half-brothers, but whatever. He shows up.
This character is called Tyson. We don't care. He's the worst thing in this movie. I hate this character with the fire of 1,000 suns.
Oh, man. It was so great. It was so great when he showed up anytime with you, David, and you just couldn't even...
Oh, God. I hate this character. He's so unnecessary. We spend so much time with this kid. He does nothing important that nobody else couldn't have done. Mm-hmm. It's friggin' awful. I hate this character
Let's move on so you feel better. So, this mechanical bull shows...
Attacks the camp.
Yes. He shows up, attacks the camp, and...
Action scene.
Yeah. And then they find out that the tree... that has the border over the camp that doesn't let monsters or anything in, is dying. That's how that mechanical bull is able to get through. So they're like, oh no, somebody poisoned, which is called Talia's tree. And a very short summary, basically, Zeus's daughter was attacked and killed right outside Camp Half-Blood, and he turned her into a tree to protect the other Half-Blood so they have a safe space. And she's dying, whatever. Or not she's dying, but her tree is dying. And...
Bad things are going on.
Yeah.
And then
they
need to find a solution to saving the tree and all that. Mm-hmm. And Annabeth discovers, aha, the golden fleas. Mm-hmm. And then she's like...
On, like, the Greek Google.
Yes, on Greek Google. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a joke, but...
Demi-Google!
It's freaking...
They said, yeah.
It's stupid. This is ridiculous.
Demi-Google.com.
This is the worst... I hate this so much.
And then they're like, okay, let's do a quest so we can go and get this golden fleece. And then Dionysus is just like, yes, yes.
And so then they put on a quest and they decide that Clarice, Percy's rival, is going to go find the fleece and not Percy. Because I guess Percy's lame now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget what happens after that. I blanked out.
After that, they set off, and Percy is like, we need to go.
Because I don't know why.
I forgot why they wanted
to go. Right, he had that Oracle thing tell him that he's going to wrestle Luke for the thing, for the fleece.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that drives him to go get it. Mm-hmm. This movie's that forgettable.
See, yeah. He goes, it tells him he has to wrestle Luke for the fleece, whatever. And he's like, we got to go. So...
Yeah, I'm still a little unclear as to why that would drive him to go, but I guess he's going anyway.
Yeah. So, Percy, Annabeth...
And Grover.
And Tyson.
Oh, God.
Take off. And they need the satyr, which David and this... They knew that they needed to go through the Sea of Monsters to go and find Polyphemus.
Yeah.
And the Bermuda Triangle is, like, obviously in Florida. And yes. Then they need the satyr to, because he can smell the fleece or the area.
That's apparently the lore.
Yes. And he's just like, okay. He starts to think, he's just like, south, east, west, whatever. And David was just like, obviously.
Yeah.
They're in New York. And it was great.
Yes. So, these people are morons. Like, I cannot think of another word to describe these people. They're stupid.
They go on that taxi of damnation.
I hate that scene so much.
Basically, the only point of that scene was, like, these three ladies with only one eye to share.
Because the funny action scene, because they're driving with one eye.
Yeah. They tell him some numbers.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what? And comes into play later.
This movie is very predictable. I called this.
Yeah. Then they go. They end up in Virginia because... Oh, no. They end up in Washington, D.C. because they didn't have enough money. They dropped him off. And then they went to UPS and found Hermes.
They found Nathan Fillion playing the role of Hermes.
Yes.
Who gave them some things that would help them or something.
And just a recap, Hermes is the father of Luke and Luke is the villain.
I'll say this. Nathan Fillion, who plays Hermes, makes a joke about a TV show that was the greatest show of all time that only lasted for one season, which is a great little funny reference to the show that he was on that only lasted one season that people love called Firefly. Mm-hmm. And that made me laugh. Mm-hmm. That was actually really funny. But that was a little too meta because if you don't get the joke, you don't get the joke. And Casey didn't get the joke.
No. It was still, I mean, it was a funny line. He was like, cancel. It was fine. But I liked him as Hermes, though. He had some spunk.
I just like Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
He's a great actor.
But yeah, he gave them some things to use in the future and set them off and basically told, you know.
And he also tells them, hey, don't kill Luke, be easy on him or whatever. Like, he seems to just want to reconcile with him.
We're all family, you know, like, we get mad at family, etc., whatever.
And stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. So they take off. Grover got kidnapped.
One scene before this.
Yeah, like, they needed a satyr to find the fleas.
Yeah.
So they take off on a hippocampi, and it takes them to the ship, the Princess Andromeda.
And it is so loud. Like, they're trying to infiltrate a yacht. And
with Luke on it.
And you'd think that people would just kind of like, hey, what's that thing coming towards the ship? We should maybe pay attention to this.
It even did a little trick when it dropped them off.
Yeah, and then, but no, nobody picks up on it. Nobody sees it, nobody hears it. Nobody can hear them walking around. Mm-hmm. These people are all stupid. I hate this cast so much. These characters.
Well, they get captured and they escape. And they escape on a little boat. And they make their way into the Sea of Monsters.
Yep.
And then they get eaten by...
It's like a Kraken. It's like a Kraken.
I know.
It's not the Kraken.
So they were eaten by Charybdis.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And while they're in its stomach, which actually looks kind of pretty.
I don't know why it was just happened to be there, but whatever.
Yeah. While they're in there, they find Clarice. She was eaten, too.
I didn't say this earlier, but, like, the only characters that I like in this whole franchise right now are, like, Clarice and Stanley Tucci, Dionysus. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's all I want. So the fact that Clarice is here is just, oh, thank God you're here, Clarice. Save me from these people.
Yeah. So they join her.
Yeah.
They get out of the stomach. They make their way up. They find their way to Circe Land, where Polyphemus lives.
Yes.
And they get off. They find Grover is already there, pretending to be a woman Cyclops in a wedding dress.
For some reason, I'm a little unclear.
He did it because Polyphemus eats satyrs, so he dressed himself up as a Cyclops, quote-unquote, because he's partially blind. And
should be fully blind because of Odysseus, but whatever.
Yeah, but he dresses himself up as that so he doesn't kill him. He's trying to, like, you know, stall.
Right.
And they see the Golden Fleece. They eventually get it. They're making their way out, and then Luke shows up.
And captures them.
Yeah. And Tyson jumps in front of Percy as they were about to shoot him, and he falls and dies.
I was so happy when this happened.
He was so happy.
I was so happy.
I knew the outcome of this entire film, and he was like, yes, yes. And in my mind, I was like, he's going to be so pissed in like 10 minutes.
And the thing is that, like, yeah, because they had already referenced again in this movie how, like, Percy can heal himself when he touches the water. And then you see Tyson fall in the water and all that. And so I was like, oh, no. So I was hoping that, like, they would just, like, let him die so that we can have some drama in this movie. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just a big waste of time. Just wasted drama.
We're not.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And so at this point, our party of heroes...
They're on, like, a field.
Yeah, they're captured.
Yeah.
And at this point, because Tyson is dead, ha-ha! it's Percy, Annabeth, Grover, and...
Clarice.
And Clarice. And then Annabeth is like, come on, Percy, you have to keep fighting. And then she's like, you're our leader. And
then, like, who voted me as leader? And then she was raised her hand.
And she did. And then Grover did, which that's appropriate, I guess.
Yes.
But then for some reason, Clarice raises her hand.
She was like rolling her eyes. She was like, ugh.
But like, why would she? She has no reason to do that.
Okay. Percy Jackson.
No one cares.
And the Sea of Monsters.
No one cares.
Percy Jackson.
It should be Clarice.
No.
The movie featuring Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters.
He's the son of the big three. He's the more important one.
He clearly sucks because he keeps losing to Clarice like a loser.
She's the daughter of the God of War. It's not his specialty.
And she's so much cooler than this loser Percy Jackson.
To be honest, in the book, it's just, she's kind of annoying. So
yeah, from the impression that Casey shared, it sounds like Clarice just isn't actually as important as she is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She does play a role, but she's just kind of like...
An even more minor role than she plays in this movie, because she does play a minor role in this movie. She's there, and she's fun, but that's it.
So they vote him as leader.
For some reason.
They escape out of the ropes, and at that moment, Luke lays the golden fleece on Kronos' sarcophagus, and Kronos begins to reanimate. Not entirely. He's still missing some pieces, but he's there. He's a giant. And then Luke is like, great-great-grandfather, I'm your...
Servant or whatever.
Grandson, I'm your servant. I'm here for you. And he was like, oh! And
yummy, 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 yummy.
And eats him. He's like, demigods are my favorite. And eats it. And I was just like, dang. And then everybody starts running. And then Grover gets eaten. And then Percy is just like, what's going on with my sword? And his sword starts to glow. And in his prophecy that he got earlier in the film, it said something about cursed blade shall reap. And then whenever Kronos saw it, he was just like, cursed blade. And then basically Percy, you know.
Can defeat Kronos, the most powerful titan.
Yep.
He just can do that.
Yeah. Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters, David. Remember that name. So he puts him back into his sarcophagus. So he's not, I don't know if he's dead. He's not, well, you can't kill him. But he's back into pieces, basically. And they take the fleece off. Oh, and then Annabeth was stabbed.
Remember, Tyson came back, too.
Oh, shoot, you right. Yeah, Tyson showed up. And, oh, when Luke was about to stab him.
Yeah, Luke was about to stab Percy.
Oh, because whenever he cut through Kronos, Luke fell out and Grover fell out. So they weren't, like, you know, chewed up.
Yeah.
And he was about to hurt him, and then Tyson showed up and saved the day, and David.
I cannot remember the last time I was so livid.
I wish I could repeat what you said.
I was so pissed off.
It was so funny.
Hate it, Tyson.
He was so much funny, David.
He
made this film so enjoyable for me.
All of our time. He's just the worst character. The CGI on his face is stupid. It looks so fake. The actor is wearing an awful wig.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so fake.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even doing a great job acting anyway, performing this stupid script. This kid, Tyson, this character, offends every sensibility inside me. It's just the worst.
It's okay. It's okay. We're almost done.
Cannot wait. Oh, God.
It's okay. Moving on. So, one of the monsters stabs Annabeth. I wish you guys could see David right now.
I just want to be over.
So, they stab Annabeth. And she's dying, and she's dead. And then they
put... What a stupid threat.
And I really don't think she should have, quote-unquote, died. I understand the dying part. But died, like, so quick, too.
Well, why are we even using this as an... Why are we even doing this? Why is this scene here? Like, this is a completely empty threat. The villains are all gone. They have secured the fleece. We know exactly what's going to happen. So why are we even pretending to even threaten Annabeth and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And what's more is that Annabeth doesn't even, like, say or do anything or confess anything. Like, nobody says or does anything in response to her death or her dying that means anything. Or whatever. Like, Percy doesn't confess any feelings for her. Annabeth doesn't even confess her feelings for Percy.
Come back, I love you. No.
Yeah, like, not, like, that. Listen, that'd be super cheesy, but, like, it would be appropriate.
Come on, we're not done living yet together.
Yes, something like that. Like, again, it'd still be a bit poorly constructed, but at least it'd be something. Because, mm-hmm. again, this is an empty threat. They weren't going to kill Grover. They're certainly not going to kill Annabeth.
Here's the thing. In any magical type of TV show, a lot of times they say magic always has a price. Especially huge spells. Right. Huge magic.
Like, say, and magic, Resurrection?
Yeah, magic like Resurrection, that normally has a high price.
And nothing in this movie.
I feel like almost everyone always does, like, a life for a life type of thing. So, the fact that she just comes back to life with no consequence whatsoever, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that'd have been kind of nuts. What if Percy gives his life for Annabeth, and then the next, like, part of the story picks up with Percy has to find a way to escape the underworld or something? That'd be kind of crazy. Like, that'd be really crazy consequence.
It's not that easy to escape the underworld when you're dead.
Exactly. That would be a really crazy, really hard quest for them to fulfill.
Maybe, but I don't like with Percy dying. I would understand Annabeth dying and then him trying to go and get her.
Well, there you go. We can have the role reversal.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
So, yeah, she dies. She comes back to life with the fleece.
And nothing, it's just...
No consequence whatsoever.
Yeah, nothing happens.
And then they... What a
waste of everyone's time.
Then they go back to camp. They put the fleece on the tree. And they walk away, and then they come back later.
The tree's looking great. Yeah. Barrier's great.
And then they're crying.
That's a surprise.
Annabeth goes to Percy, and she was like, the fleece was stronger than we thought. And he goes to the tree, and he sees a girl. And,
a teenager.
Yes, and they're pulling her out, and he's just like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Talia, daughter of Zeus.
Oh my god.
And scene, roll credits. So... with that ending, I thought it was pretty cool. In the books, there's a prophecy about one of the children of the big three gods, a half-blood, that will either basically save Olympus or do something to bring it down. And at the time, Percy was the only one, so they're like, oh, this is about Percy. And then now that Talia's back in the picture, they're like, oh, it could be her. You don't know. But... this I like that part of the ending. David was just like, because she died when she was like 7 or something.
Yeah.
And so now she's the same age. So she basically grew to the same age she was supposed to be if she had never died.
So she's basically a child in a teenager's body.
Yeah. And David was just like, how does her clothes fit?
And the reason that we discovered is that, well, this is a PG movie, so we have to keep everything PG. And that'd be kind of creepy to have like an undressed person on screen.
Undressed minor.
Well, undressed character who's a minor. Yes. I'm pretty sure the actress is probably 18, I'm guessing.
Right. But,
it'd still be creepy.
Yeah. So, that was the movie.
What a waste of everyone's time.
David just can't wait for this to finish so he never has to talk about it again.
I cannot wait to just forget this movie and move on with my life and pretend it never existed.
Okay. So...
oh, it's awful.
What would we change
okay.
about the film?
So, we said in the first movie that our main part of heroes, like, the actors aren't very good at, well, performing.
Acting.
At acting, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still not any good. They're still bad.
David thought they were a little bit better.
But, a little better.
But not as good as they could have been.
Percy has one effective scene right at the beginning. And this is part of why this movie is such a frustration to me. Is just that... it, like, had moments where I was like, oh, I think it might go somewhere. It might kind of be cool. And then, no. Percy has a really nice scene where he's lamenting the fact that he feels like he's never going to live up to the expectations that he has on himself and that other people have for him. And he just kind of feels like he's kind of failing. And he's lamenting that. And it's a nice scene because he calls out to his dad to, like, you know, help him.
Yeah, and he wants, like, response from his dad,
yeah.
But he's just talking.
And he gets nothing.
But then he turns around, and he starts walking, and then we see a little bloop in the water.
But Logan Lerman is delivering that scene effectively. Like, I've learned from watching this movie that Logan Lerman is an okay actor. It's just that he has no range. He's got Sad and Depressed, which is why I'm guessing he was pretty good.
And Perks of a Wallflower.
And Perks of a Wallflower, because his character is just so sad and depressed. Mm-hmm. Or so I'm given to understand, I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, so there you go. That's what that's his shtick.
So,
I
thought it was nice when you saw it. You were like, oh, okay, that was nice. And then you were so disappointed afterwards.
Yeah, because everything after that, he just didn't get any better. That was it. After that, Logan Lerman just devolves into just the exact same bad actor that he was before. Mm-hmm. Just delivering really stilted lines, and I just don't believe in this kid. It just feels like a person delivering lines that doesn't feel like an actor, you know, inhabiting a character.
Yeah.
And Alexandra Daddario is back as Annabeth. This time she dyed her hair.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if she did it for the film or she had it for another film, but in the books, Annabeth is blonde. But I feel like if you didn't make her blonde in the first film, what's the point of making her blonde in the second?
I don't, yeah.
Is there a demigod salon?
I'm not sure they care either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Either way, she's in here and she's a little better. Like, I think Alexandra Daddario is a solid actress. Mm-hmm. She's not the best actress. But in this movie, she's still not good. She's like a C minus. She gets like a C minus. So she's like, I'd say technically failing, but like, she's real close. She's borderline. And then I feel bad for Brandon T. Jackson. His role got gutted because he's not really in this movie that much.
No.
Yeah, and that's sad because he was actually the best one of the three. This movie, the producers and creators and writers of this movie are just finding ways to make the movie bad.
And David felt like he aged, and he was just like, oh my gosh, he looks like my age.
He did, yeah. He looks kind of old, considering that he's supposed to be playing a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, once again, like last movie, recast everybody. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of everybody, and just recast a whole bunch of other people. And then something else that...
You wanted to take Tyson out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tyson is a waste of everybody's time.
Gone.
Yes.
The thing is, like, there's so many Cyclops, so it's just kind of like, why? You don't need to bring him in. It's fine.
He just doesn't do anything that nobody else could have done. Mm-hmm. He rescues Percy from Luke twice. We'll have...
Say I Annabeth will give you it, a little spoiler for the future books.
I don't care.
No. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. David. He's barely in the books, the rest of the books.
Amen. Thank God.
He shows up, I think, like, maybe one more time.
Yay. But a short thing. Does he die in that scene?
No. He basically goes to work in the forges in the sea with all the other Cyclops.
Oh, so there's nothing special about him.
So,
delightful.
Yeah.
Anyway, something else. Well, think about this. This is the plot of this movie. Something bad has happened, and our heroes have to go retrieve a powerful object and bring it back to a certain location by a certain time, or otherwise, dire consequences will result. Mm-hmm. Now, Casey, mm-hmm. I want you to guess, which mm-hmm. movie am I talking about? Am I talking about Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, or am I talking about Percy Jackson, The Sea of Monsters?
You're talking about Percy Jackson.
Yes, that's probably the most correct answer you could possibly give at this point, mm-hmm. because, yeah, the plots for both of these movies are more or less exactly the same. They have to retrieve an item and bring it back, or otherwise bad things will happen if they don't. And so, for our fix, we just kind of said, like, well, change that a bit, because it's just the exact same plot, and I'm just not about that. No.
So, how did you want to change the plot, David?
You sound so enthusiastic.
We sat here and argued about this for like an hour.
That's true. Well...
Because we were trying to just think of, obviously, the best solution here. So...
But lots of things hinge already on, like, bringing back Talia, who is part of the tree that's creating the barrier and all that. So...
Go ahead, tell them.
You sound so confident.
I do. Always.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so the idea would just be this. Instead of Talia being the original source of the barrier, maybe Talia is just some other tree somewhere elsewhere, and that Camp Half-Blood is just in some other location, and it is powered by some other hero who died or something like that. It doesn't really matter who.
This is basically, because it does beg the question of, like, when Talia's tree came up to protect the camp, that was, like, 7 years prior.
Yeah.
So it begs the question of...
What were they doing before that?
Yeah. So...
Were the kids dying in droves before that?
Was that their test every day? Monsters coming after them? Because this is a camp for literal half-blood, so mm-hmm. that has to be, like, the strongest smell.
Yeah.
On... In the country.
All together at once.
Yes. Yeah. So, obviously, that would attract all those monsters.
Yeah.
So, I think it'd just be better to, they just had a tree from, like you said, the original, the hero from whenever they made the camp thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago.
You're welcome, Rick Riordan.
Rick Riordan.
Rick Riordan. You're welcome, Rick Riordan.
Mm-hmm.
We're fixing your book for you.
And then we would have Talia's tree elsewhere.
Just at a different location.
Yeah.
And so the quest is basically we need to get the fleece so that we can power this new barrier.
Yeah, because he basically, we're going to have it where he killed this tree beyond repair.
Right.
So they're like, what can we do? And then they were like, well, the reason this was brought to life was because this hero, child of Zeus, we'll just say that.
Sure.
Like, that's the reason that it was brought up. So let's try and find someplace else. And they're like, oh yeah, Talia, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they go over there and they're like, okay, we need this object that can help build this, can bring it to life, give us the barrier that we need to make a new camp.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that can be really our plot. That's still pretty similar, but at least it's different enough so that it's no longer just we need to go get a thing to fix a thing. This is a go get a thing so we can create a new home.
And they have to rebuild and all those things.
Yes, all those kinds of things. So, different enough, anyway, at this point.
David wants to give every character an arc.
At least Percy and Annabeth. Grover is missing from the movie enough that it's fine if he doesn't really have an arc.
Mm-hmm.
Which is too bad for Grover, because I still think Brandon T. Jackson is the best actor between those three.
Yeah.
But, for example, Percy seems to just go on the quest because of Oracle telling him prophetic things. Which I feel is kind of lame. It'd be nice if Percy was just trying to prove himself. Which is part of what he was feeling earlier. He's feeling like a failure. What if he was just going on the quest because he wants to prove himself?
Mm-hmm.
That may ruffle some feathers within the people that he knows. And the politics of, you know,
You don't jump on people's quests.
But it doesn't matter. What if Percy just wanted to prove himself for himself? Not just because...
That just seems very selfish, though.
There we go, though. It's a bit rude, yeah. But nonetheless, I could see Percy deciding to do that. And that could be part of his arc, is that at first he's doing it because he just wants to fulfill a quest. He doesn't really care that it's about the saving the camp. But then by the end of the movie, he can feel like, you know what? Me getting the glory for this quest matters so much less than finding a new home for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give weight to the fact that at the end, he lets Clarice have the glory for the quest, which is what ends up happening in the movie anyway. So let's just kind of double down on what the movie seems to want anyway.
Okay.
You sound unconvinced, but whatever.
Anywho's. I just don't see Percy as being selfish. That's why I don't like that. But
well, what if he's having...
I don't like that arc.
Well, what if he's growing out of his selfishness?
He wasn't selfish, though.
Well, what if maybe he was? He's a teenager, Casey.
I know, but he's also... I don't know, because then it kind of puts him as being a child of the big three and thinking that, like, he's better than everyone else.
Again, he's growing out of that. Our character needs to grow out of something. He can't just be Mr. Perfect Good Guy, Casey.
He's not a perfect Mr. Good Guy. But I just...
But then what is he going to grow out of? This is a solid thing.
If he's selfish, then why would his friends want to be friends with him?
Selfish people have tons of friends, Casey.
Okay.
And that's the thing, like, he doesn't... Maybe he's not selfish all the time. Maybe he's just being selfish about the quest. That's the thing. He's being selfish because he wants to prove himself that badly. And that's his flaw, is that he wants to prove himself that badly that he's going to be selfish. And that's his flaw. The flaw that he's not okay with himself. It's not that he's selfish. He's selfish because he wants to prove himself. Anyway.
Then we would have Luke. In the movie and in the book, he's basically kind of the leader of Kronos' army.
A whole army, a large group of people.
And I was telling David, I was like, I kind of see him as like the hand of the king, in a sense. Hashtag Game of Thrones. And David was just kind of, because we were trying to figure out, like, how do we make this better? And in the book, he was basically, like, the end story, he was kind of made a move that he really shouldn't have made.
It wouldn't make sense for him, because he's baited into a fight by Percy, even though he really has nothing to prove to Percy at that point.
Yeah, so we have the idea of making Luke a part of, like, Kronos's cult group.
Yeah, just a cult. A cult of Kronos or something is out there.
So he's, you know, he's a member. He's trying to prove himself for that group.
Exactly.
So then him and Percy end up in a fight.
Yeah. And then that's how this little taunting that Percy does would work, is that he would taunt him, Lucas under proof, and there we go. And that would be a fun little parallel between our two protagonists, is that Percy feels he has something to prove, Luke feels like he has something to prove, and they're both kind of approaching the same quest and having to grow out of it. And something that would be really cool is that at some point, Percy challenges Luke again, kind of like how it happens in the books, but in this case, Percy kind of knows that he's not actually going to win. He can't win in a fight with Luke at this point, or so that's what he believes. And in so doing, he does end up fighting Luke, but it's all a distraction, and it allows the quest to be completed, even though Luke actually defeats Percy.
Right. Like, it allows the rest of them to go on with the fleece without Percy.
Right.
And he's basically distracting Luke so he can't chase them.
But it also helps Luke save face with his superiors so that...
So he can get up in the race.
Exactly. So that, clearly, he's still capable of fighting and dangerous, mm-hmm. even though he, you know, didn't totally win the quest, I guess.
Yeah.
So he definitely failed, but not as badly as it could have been.
And also, like, the reason they wanted the fleece in the first place, at least in the books, which makes more sense...
It's a little mixed, yeah.
They just wanted the fleece to speed up Kronos' healing, but not fully bring him back to life yet.
Oh, yeah. We should probably say, in our more ideal version, we just wouldn't have Kronos show up the way he does at the end of the movie.
It's not meant for now.
It's not meant for now, and the fact that Percy can fight Kronos and more or less kill him again is...
And
it undermines our villain.
And also, in reality, too, if Kronos really came back to life... Wouldn't his children be right there waiting for him to fight them? Like, wouldn't Zeus and Poseidon and Hades be waiting for him?
I would have thought they would have, like, sensed it and tried to go after him.
Right.
So, yes.
Because it seems to believe in these books and stuff that the gods are pretty much watching the majority of the time. Or somebody is. And yes. They find out everything.
Yeah.
So, they really should have been there.
Yeah, this franchise plays really fast and loose with the gods are totally watching all the time.
Yeah. And it's not the part that they... You know, the gods are selfish,
yes.
And it's not necessarily that they want to save their children. It's more so that if Kronos is back, we did. So, like...
But they totally would act, and yes. That's the thing. And
so...
And in this, they just don't.
Yeah. So...
So, yeah. And then Annabeth, we said, like, Annabeth would just kind of be pursuing vengeance against Cyclopses in general.
Polyphemus,
yes. Yeah. Who...
So... Yeah, they do show a short clip that whenever they were little, a Cyclops is the one that was chasing them and killed Talia.
Right.
So she has been, you know, scared, not liking
She's Cyclops. Racist against yes. Cyclops.
Yeah, kind. In the film.
Yeah.
Whenever we were watching it. And I was like, yeah, she's... And Dave's like, racist?
Yeah. That girl you call Annabeth, I call racist.
She is not about those Cyclops.
No, she's not.
So she did not like Tyson.
Yeah, so even though we're going to remove Tyson from the movie, amen, like, let's go ahead and double down on Annabeth's racism against Cyclopses. Mm-hmm. Or Cyclops kind. I don't know what Cyclops eye?
Cyclopsy? I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, a more than one Cyclops.
Yes.
So anyway, let's just have Annabeth motivated instead of just, like, entirely just, like, helping Percy all the time, whatever, he's the hero. Have it so that she's on the quest because she just wants to kill those Cyclopses. The Cyclops. She just wants to kill Polyphemus.
Yeah.
And we can even have a moment where she has a choice between helping the quest or...
Killing
Polyphemus. And she's like, let me go kill Polyphemus. And maybe she can even fail in that moment to kill Polyphemus. And that can even be part of her arc, too, is that she's being selfish, just like... Percy is, and she's having to grow out of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This is consistent within theme of what we're doing. So, I'm so much more excited about this movie than, like, how it actually ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, it's something.
That's our little fixes on Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but hey, it's better, I think.
If you are a fan of Greek mythology and you want to see Greek mythology in a modern world, definitely check out the books. And then if you really want to curse yourself with the movies, go ahead.
Yeah.
It is not the same.
No, it's not.
The books are really great.
Yeah, please do yourself a favor. If you read these books, please, God, don't watch these movies.
It's like when you watch Avatar, The Last Airbender, and it's just like, nobody talks about the film.
I have no idea what you're talking about,
yeah,
Casey.
Yeah, that's non-existent.
You mean the Avatar the Blue People? I remember that movie.
Is that something else? That's a Oscar.
We don't talk about M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
M. Night Shyamalan.
So, David, what movie would you suggest? We forgot to suggest one last week,
yes,
RB.
We did.
So we're going to give you two suggestions this week. You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't know about any urban fantasy things that I actually like or that I think are any good. However, if you just want to watch a good fantasy movie or something like that, listen, I don't love it, but the Lord of the Rings trilogy, good movies.
Haven't seen it, but I'll take your word for it.
People are going to DM us, blasphemy that you haven't watched Lord of the Rings
and
yet.
Fire me?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so get ready for that.
I actually, somebody actually recommended to me yesterday, and I was like, oh yeah.
That's funny.
My friend said it too.
Like, yeah, I don't love them, but, and I'm given to understand that they shortchange the books a bit, but they're good.
The only thing I know is that Orlando Bloom's in it, and honestly,
yes, he is.
That's all that matters.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's David's suggestion.
Yes.
My suggestion is actually a TV show.
Okay.
That I love, and actually does at some point mention Greek gods.
Okay.
So, I recommend The Magicians.
Okay.
It is on Netflix. The show is done, but it's one of my favorite shows, like my top three. I think it's a great show. They dive into a lot of things. It is obviously about magic, but they do talk about the gods some, and it does not fully focus on the gods. They just, certain types show up, but it's not necessarily Zeus.
I've never watched The Magicians, so I can't promise it's good.
And I can't promise Lord of the Rings is good. But honestly, it is a really great show. It definitely takes magic on like a whole another level. It's more so of like intelligence with the magic. Like you have to be accepted in, and if you don't have it, then they wipe your memory.
Okay.
So I think it's a great, great show. It's definitely worth watching. I love it. And there's
it's done, so you can, like, watch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The characters, there's some characters that are freaking hilarious. And then there's, like, some depressive characters, but, like, you kind of relate to them in a way, too. But they're cool. Like, they all make sense, and it's totally worth the watch.
Casey, I feel so relieved this episode is over.
I know. I can see.
Yeah.
But thank you for watching.
Stay tuned next week. We're going to talk about Suicide Squad.
Yes. And if you somehow really wanted to watch Percy Jackson, it is on Disney Plus.
Yes. You can watch the Percy Jackson movies on Disney Plus.
Yes. So thanks again for listening.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
See ya.